Welcome to the jungle, hour number three on a Friday. Busy, busy third hour, and an opportunity for you to get through in this smack-off season. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. What we did do is change our telephone number for the first time in 20 years. The new number is 1-800-636. Come on!
Come on.
Just dial that out. That could change your luck. That could change your fortune. A lot of you are scared to call the program. I understand why you might be. We hold you to a higher standard here. This is not a caller-driven program. You might get mocked. You might get clowned. However, this might change your fortune. That's why I changed the phone number. The new number now actually is 1-800-636-COME-ON.
Come on.
Dial that up. Chalk will pick it up. He will ask you what you want to talk about. And if you give him a good answer, he will put you on the air. I had Gino. Gino, I mentioned, did not take kindly to the fact that we were all calling bullcrap on his Scottie Pippen story. But he hung up. So, all right. So let me lay out this hour really quickly. I've got DJ Reed, a cornerback with the Jets, coming up next segment. I've got Alvin's Week That Was coming up later on in the hour. I've got the ATP coming up still yet. And we're talking about, I haven't even gotten to the Celtics. I already talked about the reset and how it jumped the day between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Nick Saban tried to go on Sirius XM and apologize, but not really, which is lame. And then try to clarify what he said, as if what he said needed any clarification whatsoever. Hey, Nick, we fully understood, and it was clear as day, what you meant when you said they bought every one of their players. There's no gray area in that. That's what made it so awesome.
A&M bought every player on their team.
The only thing that sucked about all that was him dropping into his back pedal like he was Deion Sanders about what he said about Deion Sanders.
That was something that was assumed by what I said.
And nothing was assumed. You said it, Nick. Anyway, we covered that, and I've been talking about smack-off season. And I'm trying to encourage you to actually call. A lot of you are afraid. The universe favors the bold. Punks get bullied. That's how the universe works. Do not be afraid. People have made calls for the first time and come out of nowhere and shocked the world. I played you Brad's first time call. I played you Mike in San Diego's first time call. Arguably, well, Brad's call. I don't know how you top that. That was as close to a textbook perfect call as there is, well, until he got run. But that was a first-time call. But that might not have even been the best ever first-time call. I could argue that Jeff and Southfield's first call was the best first-time call because it was so wild and so out there. But I think if I put it to a vote, I think the jungle, and those of you who go back far enough would know or would vote accordingly, I think that you would say JD in Nashville actually made the first ever or best ever first-time call. I'm going to play you this, not because I think that you can do it, but I'm going to play you this to show you what is possible and why you want to shoot your shot and why you want to make a call. This guy also, back in the day, came out of nowhere and did this. JD, you're up. Nice to have you. How are you?
Shimon, I'm calling you. Pimp in the box. What's up, Jay Stu? Yeah. The porn stash rocks. Shimon, come to my room, up to my dorm. I need eight dudes for watching porn. And your throat alarm ain't nothing when I'm trying to get to you. I know Michael's bed is bumping. Can I bring magic too? Because I'm Chad. You know it, you know. There's a pervert in the jungle right now. And I tell you once again, it's Chad.
Like a first-time call that he turned into a song in like a diss track. Like it was amazing. And immediately, there was no such thing back then as going viral, but that would have gone viral. As I've told the story before, literally within a week or two, there were people showing up on ESPN with signs for JD. I mean, the guy was famous. It was amazing. But my point, I like also, hey, JD, what's up? Not yo, Rome. I got something for you. Just immediately write to Shimon.
Shimon.
What this illustrates is this. That's what it means to shoot your shot. again, it is the standard. The bar is high. And yes, I am looking to catch lightning in the bottle. But it's possible. Get up in here. Take your hack. Shoot your shot. Even if it doesn't go well, at least you know you stepped your game up. At least you know you got in there and took your hacks. I mean, not to dumb this thing down to Little League Baseball. Well, high school baseball. But we're always saying stupid things like, hey, 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 find a way to win it. Find a way to win it. You got this. Clones, find a way to win it. You got this. Man, pick up a bat. Pick up a bat. Shoot your shot. What is the worst that can happen? Advice for life. What is the worst that can happen?
Swing the bat, puss.
Swing the bat, puss. HUD nailed it back in the day. Get back up on that launching pad. Swing the bat, puss.
Get back up on that launching pad, unit. We are not done with you.
Get back up on that launching pad, unit. We are not done with you, he said to Randy Johnson back in the day. Swing the bat, puss.
Swing the bat, puss.
Bottom line, what's the worst that can happen? Are you dead? No, if you're not dead, it's fine. Everything's good. If you're still above ground and you're still breathing, you're fine. Swing the bat, puss.
Swing the bat, puss.
It's smack-off season.
The smack-off.
Yeah, the actual phone number is 1-800-636-8686. Call now. Take your shot. CEO's been coming around lately. Even he's shocked. He's like, damn, Otis? So good. Otis came out of nowhere. I mean, that would be almost the equivalent of, I don't even know, like Terrence? It'd be like Terrence just showing up, hey, Rome. That'd be something. Terrence has not done that. Even Otis did. Bella B is in. Quote, I'm rooting for at Rick in Buffalo or Hollywood Mark to win the smack off. But every time I hear Brad and Corona, I know that he'll win again because nobody does it better. Hashtag jungle legend. It is. I mean, it's the BIC Invitational. As good as Leff is, it's the BIC Invitational. It's Brad versus the field. How do you go against him? He never not, other than when he went kamikaze, he almost never, ever doesn't show up huge day of. This says, if I had known that Ritt and Alvey were going to be recreating the Death Row Records picture, I would have worn black as well. Wore Celtics in five. Nate L., Boston University. I like that. Hey, Nate, let me ask you something, bro. Do you go to BU? Or did you go to BU? No, I mean this sincerely. Are you a college kid? Or did you just go there? Like, did you go there with my old man when he went there? Because that'd make you like 90. But are you a college kid listening from BU? That'd be awesome. Or watching. Nate L. Hit me back, Nate. If I'd known that Ritt and Alvey were going to be recreating the Death Row Records picture, I would have worn black as well. Wore Celtics in five. Hey, the way they looked last night, they might win in five. Nate L. Boston University. This guy says, just had a Jungle Tourette's moment. Delivered the mail to a hardware store on my route. I walked in. I saw an employee with a name tag saying Terry. And of course I hollered, Terry!
Terry?
It felt awesome. You know what would have felt better? If you chased it with this. If you had finished it. If you had finished the actual Tourette from that kid.
Terry? Show some f***ing emotion, you old ass, silly ass man. I want to punch the f***ing out of you. Knock your f***ing teeth out. Now, who's going to be smiling? I will. Never show a smile. I mean, when you do, you're spanking the teammates at you. You're spanking Michael Conforto's sorry ass. That's what you're doing.
I don't want this kid ever to grow up. How do we freeze that kid in time? I am so proud of that kid, and I have no idea who he is. Like, I want to, with all due respect to the family of that kid, first of all, props. You raised an amazing kid. You know, that's all you ever want to hear as parents.
Family.
Whenever somebody says to me or DJ, quote, Dodger Jano, man, you raised such good kids. They're good kids, man. They're nice kids. They're good kids. They're respectful kids. They're polite kids. You know, they came up with quite a bit. It's the greatest compliment you could ever get as a parent, right? You raise good kids. I love that. I can't get enough of that. It makes me happy. I can't lie. Those people, whoever they are, raised a hell of a kid in that Met kid. I'm so proud of that kid. I don't want to disrespect the parents, but like, if anything ever happened to them, I'd probably adopt that kid. Dodger Jana once hit me with this. She was watching CNN one night, and she saw some story about some orphan teenager that moved her to tears. And she literally, this was back in the day, she was trying to get a phone number to Atlanta, to CNN, to find a way. Like, she had started adoption papers. Like, she was already signing papers to bring in this 14-year-old orphan. I'm like, whoa, no, 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 no. Great story. And I'm really sorry for that young man, but no, we're not doing that. Now, on the other hand, the Terry kid, I'd adopt that
Terry.
Kid. I mean, that guy's probably like 28 now, and I still kind of want to adopt him.
Oh, my God.
Janet's like, man, we're going to be empty nesters. I'm like, right. Isn't it awesome? She's like, no. I'm like, well, maybe we won't be. I'm going to adopt the Terry kid.
Terry.
He's like 35 now. Anyway, I'm proud of that kid, whoever he is, and I'm proud of his parents for raising that kid to be who he is. I just wish we could freeze that moment in time because I don't want that kid ever to grow up. You know, parents always say that. I don't want my kid to grow up. I don't want. No, I kind of want my kids to grow up. No offense, kids, because they'll move on. But if that were my kid, I would never want him to grow up.
Terry.
Anyway, why am I still talking about the Terry? Because this guy said he had a Jungle Tourette's moment. Hey, Rome, whether it's vacationing, old fashions, Spotted Cow, cheese, or even the smack off, Wisco makes it better. If Nick Tater and Jimbo were from Wisco, the only thing they would be fighting over is who is going to buy the next round. If you've got a problem with Wisco, you have a problem with yourself. Johnny in Green Bay.
Hey, John.
I'll be honest. I'm normally not this guy. I've been going through the Memories app on my phone, Johnny. Looking at pictures of Wisco, I'm ready. I mean, not this second. Like, I'm not that guy. But okay, let me rephrase that. I will be ready. I will be ready for Lake Life. I will be ready to hit Wisco. And I know my man Woody is ready. It's already gotten back to me. And by the way, Woody has acquired more businesses since I last saw him. And he's got big plans for the breakfast. I've already mentioned it. I'm going to bring it to you live. I'm going to IG live Woody in his kitchen.
Live.
All right, so this guy's trying something. You know how I sometimes say to you, there's a voicemail on our podcast. It's boot camp. It's a way to get reps. It's there for two reasons. Number one, you can say things and get a little blue with it that you can never say on the air in the middle of the day on CBS. Number two, it's a way to get reps so you can work your way up to this big stage. This guy's giving it a shot. This is a voicemailer from the podcast making his debut on the show. And I said it, right? Shoot your shot. I respect it. So therefore, I'm going to skip this guy right to the front of the line. Let's go to Reno. Rob in Reno trying to make the jump from voicemail to live air on the daily. My man Rob, what's up?
I was working as a driver back in 2001 when I found you. I turned you on, I checked it out, got to know the show. It was something new. The mornings we have had have been such good times. I still like you. But now I think it's time I made a call on my own. I guess it's just what I must do. Don't you wanna rack me?
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
No.
Not a very good call.
Not at all. Ritt is standing and applauding. Ritt thought that was like the greatest thing he's ever heard. Well, that's why you're in the back row, Ritt, and I'm in front of the camera. Ritt's like, yeah, bro, yeah, yeah, I love that guy. All right, so what we did there, he should have been run about an hour earlier. And I'm looking at Alvin like, what are you waiting on, Junior? What are you waiting on? But Alvin's the one with the hammer, not me. Again, the misnomer. I don't have the power to run. Are you watching me on CBS Sports Network? There is no hammer button. There is no run button. I don't have that. I have a white desk with a board and a laptop. Alvin, only Alvin can run somebody. So I'm looking at him. I'm trying to make eye contact, and he's looking me off. He's shaking me off. And I know he knows I'm looking at him. I'm like, what are you waiting for, son? What are you waiting for, son? Alvin's like, dude, I want to wait for the chorus. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. So Alvin's holding on for dear life. Like, get there, man. Get there. Get there. Get to the chorus. Get to the chorus. Hey, Alvin, really quickly, do you have that chorus? He finally gets to the chorus, and he pays it off with this.
Now I think it's time I made a call on my own. I guess it's just what I must do. Don't you want to rack me?
No. No, I don't. You know what, though, my man? Way to give it a shot. Way to give it a shot. It was terrible and cringy, but way to give it a shot. You shot your shot. All right, you whiffed, but you shot your shot. Cringy as hell, but you shot your shot. I like it. I like it. Like, I like it and I hate it. When we come back, DJ Ree joins us. Don't be a punk, though. Don't let that discourage you. I respect the fact that he tried that way more than not trying it. DJ Reed, when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome.
Wow, that's angry. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support. Free access to product specialists. And an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. You want to call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. I'm efforting DJ Reed of the New York Jets. We are talking Jets football. They've had that kind of an offseason. That good of an offseason. I even actually tried to talk some Mets baseball today. They're having that good of a regular season. I'm fair like that, yo. I'm not a guy going way out of my way or swerving out of my lane to crack the same people or same things over and over and over again. I'm open-minded. I'm objective. So I think the Jets have had a really interesting offseason, which is why I've been talking about them and talking to them. I think the Mets were having a really good regular season, which is why I was going to talk about them. The Angels are having a great regular season, which is why I'm going to the game tonight. As promised, we are joined right now by a cornerback for the New York Jets. He signed with them in March. He set career highs in tackles and pass breakups last season. He was an All-American and an All-Conference player at Kansas State. He was a team captain in college. He was the 142nd pick overall in 2018. We've talked about that. The Jets are going to open up against Baltimore on September 11th on CBS. DJ Reed is my guest. DJ, good to have you back. How are you?
What's good, Jim? I appreciate the introduction, man. You made me sound like I'm about to be in the Hall of Fame.
My man. That, bro. Dude, you are. You're in the Jungle Hall of Fame, the Jim Rome Radio Hall of Fame, and you might get it to Canton one day. Nah, listen.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate you. It's great to hear your voice. So you and I spoke on May 21st of last year. A ton has happened for you since then. Catch me up. How's your life? How you doing? And how are things now overall?
Man, life is great, phenomenal. I mean, God has been blessing me, especially in 2022. I mean, I had the 2-interception game. You know, just got paid, just signed an extension with the Jets for 3 years. I have a baby on the way. Going to be a girl dad. So, I mean, man, God's been blessing me. I'm blessed, bro.
Man, that is super. That is so good to hear. DJ Reed is joining us. You know, you and I have talked in the past, and you really are the definition of never, ever giving up. And because of that and the work you put in, you had opportunities when it came to free agency. So what was the free agency experience like for you? And then ultimately, what made you feel like New York and the Jets is where you wanted to be?
Yeah, man, for me, the free agency experience was definitely interesting. You know, there were a lot of teams that thought highly of me, which was pretty cool to see. And there were also teams that didn't think as highly of me. A few teams that just see me as a nickel, primarily because of my height. And, you know, it really came down to three teams, the Seahawks, Denver Broncos, and the New York Jets. And, you know, I didn't know where I was going to go. You know, I wanted to stay in Seattle, but obviously I was going to go to whoever offered the most. And, you know, Russell, you know, I was a little encouraged by Russell because he wanted me to be in Denver. So, you know, he reached out to me and told me that the GM and the head coach and the DC, they all want me there. So I spoke with all of them, and, you know, it just ended up coming down to the numbers. And just the opportunity in New York was just, you know, I just feel like they were building something great. And on top of that, you know, they had the number 4 and number 10 pick, and they had 230 picks. And they told me that they were going to go get a safety, which that ended up being Jordan Whitehead. So for me, you know, it just made sense. And then I already knew Sala and already knew, you know, most of the people there on the staff with T.O., my position coach, and Ricky Manning. So it just made sense to go to New York.
T.J. Reed is joining us. There is so much good stuff in that reaction. You mentioned Sala. I had Solomon Thomas on the show recently, and we talked about why he wanted to join the Jets and work with Robert Sala again. I mean, what is it about Sala that makes him so special, and how much are you looking forward to working with him once again?
Yeah, I think with Sala, it's simple. I think he just holds guys accountable. So, like, when you're a head coach or just any coach, holding everybody accountable to the same, you know, same extent is very important. You know, some guys are held accountable depending on, you know, what they're getting paid, et cetera, et cetera. But when you play for Sala, and even Kyle when I was in, you know, on the Niners, they hold everybody to the same standard. And for me, I want to be held to that same standard. And, you know, they work. You know what I mean? We're working. So, like, that's, like, the main reason. And also just his demeanor and just, you know, he's a real dude. So he just has the respect to everybody in the locker room.
Talking to DJ Reed, now you've made the point that as a corner, if you do not have confidence, you're going to get beat. And even if you do have confidence, you're still going to get beat. You're having a lot of success. I'm curious, how much of being a cornerback is about mindset and having a great mental approach on every single play?
Yeah, man, it's everything. And for me, it just starts with my real life and just my preparation every week, every day. You know, for me, every day I wake up and my goal is to be the best version of myself. And I feel like if I don't live up to that, then I'm selling myself short. I'm selling my team short. I'm selling my family short. And I feel like I'm selling God short because, you know, we have one physical life and, you know, you want to empty the tank out. That's really what I believe in. Like, you want to empty the tank. When it's time to go, when you leave this earth, you want to empty the tank. Like, there's so many people that have so much untapped potential and they die and they didn't even get to do what they really wanted to do. They didn't impact anybody's life, et cetera, et cetera. And that's always in the back of my mind. Like, you just want to empty the tank before you leave the earth.
Bro, I think that you just tapped on the secret. I think you have the secret sauce. I think you have the answer. I think I think you figured it out. I mean, that literally is it. Where did that come from? Who put that in your head, or did you come to that yourself?
I wouldn't say I came to that myself. You know, I have a resilience coach, and we talk about stuff like this, and, you know, just changing your mindset and your perspective and really just looking at the bigger picture, it just makes it makes the work and everything you do much easier because, you know, guys get burnt out from just overworking, but they don't really have the mindset of where they want to go and what they're ultimately doing. They don't look at the bigger picture. So for me, it's just always, you know, adapting to my environment. But most importantly, it's about looking at that bigger picture and knowing, like, okay, everything. I look at everything from a positive perspective. Even if I get injured or whatever the case may be, there's always room to grow. There's always room to improve in whatever, like, I'm doing.
DJ Reed is my guest. All right, DJ, so, like, guys have head coaches, they have position coaches, they have nutritional people, they've got chefs, they've got trainers. You have a resilience coach. Can you tell me what – I love that. Can you tell me what a resilience coach is? And can you mention that person by name or no? I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, his name is Matthew Cotteroni. But basically – you know, I basically met him through my agency when I tore my pec. So I literally tore my pec bench pressing, and I was really down, bro. I was really down. I was at a low point in my life because I was working my butt off. And then I tore my pec right before training camp, and then there was a chance that I could get released, which ended up ultimately happening. So my agency basically, you know, plugged me in with them. And he was just a stand-up guy as far as, you know, he didn't even charge me the first 6 months because he wanted me to just get my mind right in rehab and not even think about any payments or anything. And he just was just showing his belief in me. And, man, we just really started growing as far as my mindset. Like, that was ultimately what was holding me back. Like, I didn't change athletically over these 2 years. It was literally a mindset standpoint. And, you know, we did a lot of stuff, meditating, and just really controlling my energy and being strategic with my energy and focusing on myself internally instead of worrying about external things. And, man, things just started blossoming.
I got to be honest. I'm going to be very real, DG. I feel like that I've got this audience of millions, and they want me to ask you about the team and the schedule and the matchups. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's just you and me talking. Like, I'm so fascinated by this. I mean, is there really something to be said that the game truly is played from the shoulders up or the neck up?
Yes, bro. Like, obviously, you got to take care of your body. You got to, you know, make sure you're eating right and getting proper sleep. Obviously, to play at a high level, that's important. But I think what separates guys that are elite, you know, like Tom Brady, you know, guys that are elite, I think it's the mindset. Talking to guys, you know, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but the elite guys, they have resilience coaches, they have mental coaches. Like, they do mental reps. Like, it's only so much you can do physically because your body gets worn out during the season. So, like, just to have those mental reps and know, you know what's coming before it's coming, it's like playing chess against the guys you're playing. It separates people.
Like, my thing is this, DJ, DJ Reed, my guest, I talk about, and I've hit on this on another podcast I do, the Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. There's a physical gym. We all want to go to the physical gym. You have to create a mental gym and get in your reps mentally. Like, let me ask you this. It's one thing for you now to be in the NFL, and you got paid, and you have this opportunity, and you're a CB1. Easy to say now, but remember where you started. You and I have talked about this, but for those who do not know, you were playing in college. You were sharing a two-bedroom apartment with seven or eight other people when you were at Cerritos College. When you think back then, what was your mindset then? And when you think about where you are right now, what kind of thoughts do you have about the journey?
Yeah, my mindset back then was, I mean, it wasn't like how it is now, but it was still positive. But it was pretty much, when I was in JUCO, I kind of told myself, like, hey, I'm going to put the work in. I developed a schedule every day, like stretching in the morning, drinking a gallon of water, whatever the case may be. Obviously couldn't eat as healthy just financially. I just made do with what I had. But the difference would be was I told myself in JUCO that, hey, you don't get a scholarship out of JUCO, then, you know, you're probably just not good enough to play at the D1 level. So I told myself, you know, I'm going to give it all I got, and I'll see where the chips fall. And by the grace of God, I ended up getting the offer. But the mindset was, like, I put the work in, but it was more hopeful than actually being deliberate and doing things.
Ah, I like it. All right, so let me ask you this before you go. We'll give them one football bit. It's been a lot of talk about Zach Wilson showing up, and he's looking bigger, and he's looking stronger. I know you're focused on your side of the ball and your job, but how much have you seen of him, and what kind of expectations do you have for him in year two?
Yeah, man, that's my neighbor. He lives by me. That's my dog. But, yeah, man, Zach's a leader. And he's very talented. I mean, when you watch him throw the ball, like, he makes crazy throws. So for him, you know, JD put the chess pieces around him. Like, we just got, you know, Bryce, and then we got, you know, two tight ends in free agency, and then we got the receiver with the number 10 pick. So, I mean, he got the weapons around him. So it's really up to him. They basically give him the keys and say, you know, make the motor run. But I think he's going to take a big leap this year just with getting more experience in the system and then, you know, not being a rookie. He's going to know the offense, so I think he's going to ball out.
DJ Reed, my guest. All right, one last thought. I know that you've seen this guy on tape, and you being CB1, they drafted Sauce Gardner, who I think is absolutely awesome, but what's your take? Do you feel like maybe the team has got a couple of CB1s, and how good can that secondary be right out of the gate?
Yeah, man, I think we're very special. I'm just being honest. I'm not saying this to, you know, hype anybody up, but I think Sauce is a phenomenal football player. I think he's going to be really great. I think he's a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type of player. And same as Bryce Hall. I think Bryce Hall has a lot of untapped potential. I mean, those are two guys that are six foot plus, prototypical, and they could cover. They play a little different, but I think our cornerback group is really good. I think our nickelback, Mike Carter, is really good. I think he has a lot of untapped potential that he's going to take a big step from his rookie year. So, I mean, honestly, I mean, this is probably one of the most talented cornerback groups that I've been in, just from doing, like, drills and OTAs and just from the classroom. Guys are really smart. That's one thing that Sauce impressed me with, was how smart he was. You know, he was, you know, he knows routes, he knows formations. You know, he got the defense really fast. So you could tell that it's a reason why he was locking down receivers in college. It wasn't just because he was just this dominant physical figure. Like, he has a great mental approach, and he knows football. He has a great IQ of the game. So that really impressed me.
Dude, I accept this. I accept all this because you don't say things just to say things. I think that's all fair. No, I buy that. I buy that, and I'm really interested to see how it plays out. He's a cornerback with the Jets. He signed that big deal in March. He earned everything that he has. Played his college ball at Kansas State. He was an All-American, an All-Conference player. My man, DJ Reed. Dude, so good to get caught up with you. I love the energy. I think it's always an inspirational conversation. I'm always better for it, man. So good to get caught up. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Jim, man. We're going to chop it up another time for sure.
Sooner than later, my man. Sooner than later. DJ Reed joining us. It was so good, so interesting. I mean, such an amazing, amazing example of the power of mindset and approach and the way you go after it and how you get what he has. Now he's earned everything he has with a belief in himself and a process and a strategy. I could do that for hours. That is so interesting. What a quality guy. Good player, too. The Jets, and we're talking a lot of Jets football. It's gotten really interesting. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. All right, when we come back. Hey, why would I run that far over? Why does anybody do anything? Because they can, but that's not it. Why did I run that late? Because we were talking Jets football. Yeah, I said it. DJ Reed is one of my favorites. And by the way, you know what he represents, don't you? And who he reps? Baco. Bakersfield. Don't you forget it. I love that he's from Baco. I kind of made a deal with myself. Anytime I talked to him, I would reference that, and then I didn't do it. I love Baco. I do. So much good stuff here. I wish I could get to it. Matt Mikla writes, thank you for not running until the chorus payoff. Don't you want to rack me? It's funny. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I've got so many different ways I can go with it, but nothing better than the option that is Alvy's Week That Was.
Hi, who's this?
I was hoping to get some Disneyland tickets. I mean, I have a 10-year-old, and she's been begging, and I don't have money for it, so.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Well, everybody's kind of broke right now, especially with gas prices, so. And I love I listen every morning, so.
I think you got the wrong number.
Really? This is the show, right?
No, that's not us.
This is the Jim Rome
that
Show.
That is actually so true. What's going on? Welcome to the program. My name is, in fact, Jim Rome. I am, in fact, live. I am, in fact, in Southern California.
From Southern California.
Thank you, Alvin.
You're welcome.
Why don't we start first with some action from the association? Christopher Emmanuel Paul. Let's get right to the reel on a Monday. The point God is the joke God. I'm not sure I've seen a worse performance on a big stage ever. Guys all up in here browning their drawers, puking the bed. It's on the point God. Because this dude could not control anything last night. Vincent Goodwill, you were there. What the hell happened to the Suns?
A choking is like missing free throws, right? That's like Karl Malone. These guys just didn't show, but there was something wrong with that team. Jim, almost from the moment that they stepped on the floor.
My passion was always football, but I didn't realize my passion was playing football.
There is no one I would rather hear right now than Jameis Winston.
And Jim, I gotta take you to task a little bit. Grow up for Jameis a little bit, man.
What are you talking about, Thomas? Dude, I'm taking up for him. I love the guy.
Unbelievable.
Mike Rupp is my guest.
People that aren't sports fans are probably like, get a life. I actually had the weekend off. I ordered an absolute ton of wings yesterday, sat around, watched some Game 7. What a way to spend your weekend.
Let's go to Jersey. Brandon.
Mark, maybe for you, a bidet and a duvet serve the same function. Or Matt in L.A. using a public water fountain as a duvet.
And you can't squeeze that crap paste back into the tube, dude.
Who are you, dude? And how do you know so much about the show? Alan Shipnuck.
The irony of Phil, you know, accusing me of using some of its material that was off the record, which it never was. It never would have been because I would have pushed back. I know so much that's not in the book. I had agreed I won't use it or the sourcing people won't put their name on. I really did feel a lot of solids in the reporting of this book.
Email.
I was way in over my skis. Signed, Sonny. War, I got trunked, babe. I got trunked, babe. You know what? Still too soon. I got trunked, babe.
Run into people and see who falls down first.
They will run into you until you fall down and then flex on everybody.
It's for you in both of your arms.
With their sleeveless numbers.
Hero is more than a sandwich.
Hey, Mark.
Don't do that. The second pick will be made by the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that means
Jamal
that the first
Mosley is my guest.
And then when they said OKC, it was just like it hit. It really hit, and then I just, you know, big smile came across, just something very special.
Now it's time for the beef.
People that wear their clothes so tight, you can see every dimple in their ass, loose knuckle, camel toe.
JD, what's your beef? JD, you're on the air, what's your beef?
Yeah, this is
Lafayette, Louisiana is our next stop. Charles.
Yeah, this is Lafayette, Indiana.
But, my bad.
Yeah, I'm
sorry, bro. Micah Hyde is my guest.
We live in Orchard Park, 15 minutes away, and it's shocking. Super sad, and you can't even really put it into words.
A&M bought every player.
Both these dudes are acting like their programs are absolutely perfect.
Don't dig into wherever he's been.
Pristine.
Some people think they're God.
Neither of them have done anything wrong.
We didn't buy one player.
Let me tell you about these two dudes.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Him on his high horse, it's a match race between the two of these guys.
Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
He is Rex.
This is the first time in Lane Kiffin's life that he's been speechless. You have these two titans going to war. It's amazing.
It's despicable.
Write that down. Know your room. Your room is the planet. Wow, the fire started. He drove into the gas line, man. Freaking house exploded. Hey, Bill, try and work that into the lyric.
I didn't say that.
The scoreboard reads, me, 30 rack calls, you, one.
Jarvis Landry is my guest.
Man, we could be special. Learn from each other, play for each other, make the plays that come to us. Each guy, myself, Mike. You know, we're going to make things happen.
Justin Thomas usually plays very good, so I love Justin Thomas. Well, damn it, I messed that up again.
You are consistently illiterate. DJ Reed is my guest.
What's good, Jim? I appreciate the introduction, man. You made me sound like I'm about to be in the Hall of Fame.
Don't you want to rock me?
Not at all. Hook, line, and sinker.
You can't eat a burger and go play a game.
Can't wait to start smacking off.
He was moving them puppies tonight.
I go, no tipping.
Bob Truax, who burned up Gus Grissom.
A team of him.
Screw all of you equally and super hard.
It's a dynasty clone.
Thank you so much, Brother Jim. I appreciate you, man.
It's always a pleasure talking to you, Jim. So grateful for you having me on.
Like I told you last time, anytime.
Can I have a drug test, please?
Shalom.
No boo on you.
No boo on me.
No
I got you.
I know what you make.
We're done.
Good night now!
Good stuff, Alvy. Good stuff. I mentioned there is so much still out there that I could have gotten to. Greetings, Jim. Rumor has it that you and Jano have penciled in the next date night to see Top Gun 2. Will you be watching it in 3D or the IMAX or pirate it off James Kelly's laptop? Kind regards, Sean and Escondido. The funny thing is, last night we got a text from our friends who said they've already bought tickets for it. For us. For us. Like the families. So apparently we are going. Again, I told you, I got an invite to the premiere. And I respectfully declined. I just couldn't pull it off. ATP, Mr. Rome, what do you get to eat and or drink when you go to the Angels game? Respectfully, Edward Marino from San Diego. Eddie, dead on, man. I've been talking about it all day. In fact, Chalk and I were just chopping it up. Chalk goes to a lot of Angel games. We used to be season ticket holders. And back when we were, the food was not great, honestly, just being real. But I know they've made improvements. I know they've made improvements on the field. But I hear also in the concession stands. So we've been talking about it. Edward, I will let you know. I don't have a go-to yet. Hey, Rome, when you hit Angel Stadium tonight, will you be leaving early when Dodger Jano, Angel Jano, participates in calling for the rally monkey? JP in Riverside, War Angels baseball, probably. She always likes that. She thinks that's funny. She likes that. I'm like, Angel Jano, don't do that. She's like, oh, the rally monkey, isn't that funny? Jimmo's. I'm like, no. No, not really. Now we're done. You know what? Good job, clones. I said at the very top, let's have fun, and we did. Huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. You have yourself an amazing weekend. See you next time. We're out. Monkeys.